This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those of you who do not know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So today I want to talk about a question that we get all the time along the lines of, how do I know my numbers are good? What's a good number? So, you know, this might have to do with your email list, which is very common. It could be about benchmarks for a membership community. It could be your bounce rate on your website. Anything you can quantify, anytime that you can take a measurement and come up with a number for your business, and especially an online business, that's going to come along with that question. Okay, so what's a good number? Now, we can talk about this all day long, and the original script for this session was like 70 minutes long. So I'm going to pare it down to three principles, what I'm calling three lenses, because they're three things that you want to look at the numbers through, three filters that you want to run those numbers through as you're deciding what's a good number, what's a bad number, am I on track or not? So I'm going to use examples for different kinds of content marketing for each one, but if we don't cover yours, and we may not, just swing on over to pinkhairedmarketer.fm and leave a question. So if you want to know how lens number two would apply to your website bounce rate, you know, just come on over to the show notes for the podcast and we can get into it. So the first lens that you want to look through when you're looking at any number in your business is to always compare yourself to yourself. So take it from me, you know, ask me how I know. You can get incredibly hung up in an online business when you start chasing somebody else's numbers. And there are a couple of reasons for this. The first one, and I hate to say this, but people lie. People will just straight up tell you numbers for their business that are not true, that are greatly exaggerated, that are just made up, or that omit really important key pieces of the equation. You know, I know, I was shocked too. Vanity, and I think we all know this, is a big driver of human behavior. And we get into a lot of trouble when we underestimate that. We get into trouble when we think that, you know, only bad people are driven by the desire for status, by the desire to feel important. Many people, most people, if they have to choose between feeling important, you know, feeling like a big shot, and actually being a big shot, most people will actually go for the emotional version. That's what they're really after, is that feeling of status and that feeling of confidence. And I don't mean, you know, other people. I mean, I am not immune to vanity by any means. And I do not know very many people who are immune to vanity. I know one or two. I do promise I will not lie to you about my numbers, because I think that's really just destructive behavior for everyone. But people do. They might, you know, they might not mean it. They might not even be really truthful to themselves. So that first issue with chasing somebody else's numbers is you might not have access to real numbers at all. But even if you don't accept that, if you say, no, I know that this number is real, I know this person is telling the truth, the second reason you don't want to chase someone else's numbers is that online businesses tend to be really, really individual. In my experience, actually even more so than brick and mortar businesses are. And you can have two businesses, and from the outside, they look very, very similar. They might even look virtually identical, but they'll have very different audiences, different business models, different factors, and all those things are going to make their numbers look different. And something I've observed many times is that even the same reader can behave differently on two different sites that are covering the same topic. So a given reader might be a buyer on one site and a looker on the other site. So you can't really say, well, I want an email open rate of X percent because I read somewhere that that was, you know, a good number for my industry. Compare yourself with yourself. So here's what that looks like. Let's say you usually have an open rate for your email newsletter of around 25% for a given message. And then you send a message and that message gets 40% open rate. Now, I did a whole podcast on email marketing over at copyblogger.fm. So I talked there a little bit about open rates and why they're a little slippery as a metric, but we're just going to go with it for now. If you get that big 15% jump in your open rate, that's something to look at. It's something to see if you can figure out why that might be. And of course, the opposite would also be true. So if you get a message and the open rate is a lot lower than your usual open rate, that's data that might reveal something interesting. Now, it's not the only thing you should look at. So, for example, it's not uncommon that you might get a 5% open rate on a sales message, but most of those people are going on to click a link to a sales page. That might be a total win, but that's jumping ahead. So before we get into that, I want to talk about the second lens, lens number two. And this one might at first glance seem obvious, but it is really easy to forget in the heat of the moment. And that's that you have to know the business purpose. You can't answer the question of what's a good number until you know what that number is supposed to be doing for you. And those areas of focus can and do change over time. So we can look at this in the context of a membership site. So for the sake of discussion, we'll just define what I mean here by a membership site. It's going to be an online community. It's going to be hosted on your site, not on Facebook or LinkedIn. Preferably, you're going to have controlled access, so it's not just a troll colony. And it could be paid or it could be free. So we'll just use that, you know, just so we're talking about the same thing. So your goal with this site might be an enticement to sign up for your email list. This would very typically be the case if you have a free membership site that has, for example, what we have, a content library. So in that case, the numbers you want to be looking at are the numbers for your email. So your total number of subscribers, is it going up? How are those subscribers behaving? Do they go on to purchase? Are they good list members or do they just grab the freebie and run? So your numbers for that business goal, that's what you're going to want to look at. Now, of course, a lot of people's membership sites are really about revenue. It's a product. It's the thing you have for sale. And in that case, you want to look at numbers relating to your bottom line. So how many new members are you picking up? How many renewing members? That's an important one. And then what is the marketing cost of acquiring the new members and keeping the old ones? So your numbers there are really going to be how many members and what does it cost to get them? Or your membership site might be about some kind of community action. You want people to go out and do a thing, and your membership site is about encouraging people to go out and take that action. So in that case, your numbers are looking at how many of your community members are going out and doing the thing. You know, how many of them, how many new voters are they registering? Or how many members of your community are walking their 10,000 steps a day? And make sure you have some kind of a mechanism where you can make that visible. And this can be something dead simple. It can be a forum thread where people let the community know what they did that day. But that's going to be your measure of whether or not your site is successful. And so you want to make sure you have a way to look at it. Or your membership site could be about support and networking. It could be functioning as a virtual mastermind group. And in that case, some of your benchmarks are going to tend to more of a soft side, a less numeric, a less quantitative side. So you're going to be asking yourself things like, how many that was amazing conversations did we have this week? What is the vibe? What's the site feel like right now? What does the community feel like? Are members reaching their goals? If that's an important business goal of your membership site, then you might do what we do in Authority, which is to create a formal celebration process and where you make time regularly to look for those wins, to go out and find them and celebrate them publicly. And that kind of ritual or that kind of process just helps you keep the finger on the pulse so that you know, is the site meeting the goals or not? Now, depending on your resources, it could be that you have a site in which your goals are all of the above. But you do need to really think about what are the key numbers for you? What are the most important numbers? You know, consultants call these the key performance indicators, the KPI. And what numbers are the nice to have? And you'll very often find that those nice to have numbers serve the key indicators. So for example, you know, the more meaningful success and the more wonderful the vibe is in your community, then the better your membership numbers look. That's very common. And that leads us to the third lens. And lens number three is always work from micro to macro. So that probably sounds a little bit cryptic. Let me get that unpacked. One of the arenas that people have major confusion around this one is search engine rankings, SEO. I see all the time, I see businesses get obsessed with ranking and they're not thinking about the big picture. All they can think about is how high up they are. You know, are they number eight on the page? Are they number one on this on page two? Where are they on the search results page? And a lot of the time, content marketers will get ultra caught up over that ranking position before they have their house in order in terms of having really strong content on the site, having enough strong content on the site, having a really excellent user experience, having a way to capture that traffic when you get it. So there are a couple of things that I want you to think about, specifically with search engine rankings. And you guys have heard me talk about this before. The most important thing you can remember about SEO is that Google can be very, very fickle. And especially it's fickle if you rank for any other reason other than you just have a massive amount of content and you have a huge amount of respect in your topic. And, you know, you might be well on your way, but you may be there yet, you may not be. Rankings based on any other factor can go away very quickly, very literally overnight. So if you happen, actually, even if you do have, you know, that just massive amount of exceptional content, if you're getting most of your traffic from search and you need that traffic in order to pay your bills, please start diversifying your traffic sources so that, you know, you don't have a really bad time one of these days, because rankings do disappear overnight. And you don't want to build your business exclusively on that foundation. It can certainly be one element, and it is for a lot of businesses, but you start to get in trouble when that's the only thing that's bringing you new faces. And the other thing to think about, and this is very related to lens number three, is that search rankings are just a step along the way. They're not the whole thing. So conversions, the general health of your business, your bottom line, as John Morrow says, his favorite metric is the balance in his business checking account. These come first. And if you have a good position in the search engines, that will help, and that's great. But don't chase the number one position for its own sake, because that really just tends to come with all kinds of problems. Understand how your search strategy is part of your overall business strategy. And if you've ever heard me speak at a conference and I'm talking about search, I always say this, which is that Google bots don't have credit cards and they can't purchase your products or services. You need to serve customers, not bots. But totally outside of SEO and search engines, any piece of data can lead you astray if you do not work from the micro to the macro. In other words, look at the details, but then pull back and look at the context. So for one thing, luck actually plays a much greater role in business than any of us really want to look at. any single number that you see in your data can be a blip. It can be the result of chance. It could be because of some kind of oddity in the Google algorithm. You know, it could be a rainstorm in Kuala Lumpur. It could be a social media selfie in Los Angeles. Business is always an ecosystem contained within other ecosystems. And because of that, every element affects every other element. So when you are looking at your numbers, instead of saying that's a good number, that's a bad number, this blog post got X number of shares and that blog post got Y, that means X is better than Y, you always have to look at the whole thing. You always have to look at the health of the whole thing. Sometimes a small number represents an outsized large result, sometimes vice versa. Try not to get too distracted by natural fluctuations in the individual numbers. And also try not to get distracted by blips that are not meaningful. So for example, one of the things we can do on Copyblogger, if we want to turn a faucet and get a ton of traffic, is we can write about grammatical and usage errors. These things get stupid amounts of traffic, just insane numbers of people come by and comment and put their two cents in. Which is great. I mean, it's fun. We've done a couple of posts along these lines. They're great fun, but they're fun. They don't truly serve a core business function for our business. They're really more of an event. It's almost like we're throwing a little party. Everybody can come by and have a good time. It's not a revenue driver for us to write about grammar and usage. So the numbers tell one story, but you have to look at it in the larger ecosystem of, what is this doing for my business? Again, what's the business purpose? And what is this doing for me as a whole? Now, it's worth doing if it generates goodwill and it's fun and it's interesting and it might bring some new people to come check us out. But we wouldn't want to do a steady diet of that just because the numbers on that topic look good. So those are the three lenses. Lens number one is compare yourself to yourself. Don't chase somebody else's numbers. Lens number two is know the business purpose of the number that you're looking at and understand what it drives. And then number three is work from the micro number to the macro. Always pull out, expand your focus to the ecosystem as a whole and the health of your business and your business's ecosystem as a whole. So if this kind of, you know, holistic business thinking is something you're looking for in your business, instead of piecing together the tactic from this one and a tactic from that one, I'm just thinking you would love our live event. It's in Denver, Colorado. It's happening this October, and it is seriously just a crazy amount of fun. So our CEO, Brian Clark, puts the agenda together personally. And he structures it so that you have a well-rounded picture of a working business instead of what most conferences offer, which is, you know, frankly, a shotgun collection of tactics from every speaker who had a book out this year. So I am going to give you the truth, straight, no chaser. If I was not a partner in this company, this really would be the one event that was on my must-attend list for the year. It just truly is that powerful. The combination of the education, the 360-degree view of business, and then just the really fantastic people who attend. It's such a winner. I really believe it's special, and I'm so happy that we do this event because I think it's so valuable. It's called the Digital Commerce Summit this year, and you can find out more about it by going to digitalcommerce.com, and then there's a nice giant button that says Summit, and you can learn more about it. Also, this podcast has a February 29th Q&A episode coming up. So if you have questions, let me know your thoughts in the comments. If you are listening to this on iTunes, you can just swing on over to pinkhairedmarketer.fm. And there's detailed show notes, links, additional resources for all of the episodes. And it's also the place where you would leave me a question or a comment or let me know what you might want to hear more about or what you might want me to dig deeper into. I'm also fairly easy to find on Twitter. I'm just at Sonia Simone, and love to hear your thoughts there as well, if that's your thing. So that's it for today. Let me know if you use these three lenses in your business, if you have experience with them, or if you try them out. I would love to hear more about it. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'll see you soon. Take care.